Thankful for the opportunity to be able to bring the word tonight. I do not take it lightly. I know it's a Wednesday, and it's probably been a rough week for some of us. We're probably a little tired, but I believe that the Lord has a word of encouragement for us tonight. And no matter where you find yourself this week, God is still in the midst, and I believe he's going to be here with us tonight. Anyone need an encouragement tonight? Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you from Isaiah 43, verses 16 through 19. It's going to be in the NIV. And it says, "This is what the Lord says. He who had made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." My inspiration comes from verse 18, where it says, "Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past." I want to speak to you from this thought tonight: the good of yesterday. The good of yesterday. God bless you. You may be seated. The good of yesterday. Our opening text is Isaiah talking on behalf of Yahweh to the people of Israel. He was addressing the nation of Judah, who at the time was facing hardship in Babylon. God was reassuring his people that despite what they had faced, he was still with them. And see, we get excited when we hear scriptures like this, because we read the word and we think all we have to do is just wait on God. It won't be very long until our fresh start, our new beginning, or our redemption story will come. And we just need to just sit there and all is fine and dandy. I mean, after all, he is the God of second chances. He is the God of redemption. He is the one that gives out fresh starts. He sees people like you and I who are unworthy by any standard, and yet he is generous enough to bless us. He is kind enough to give us the roadmap on how to be saved, because he desires to spend eternity with us. You see, this past Sunday, we baptized three souls in Jesus' name. And we give him glory, and we're thankful for what he is doing in our midst. Amen. But here's something that I want us to consider. What is the underlying common denominator in receiving grace and mercy from God? He's not forcing us to be baptized or to be filled with his Spirit. He's not demanding that we receive his grace or follow his will, and he doesn't force himself into our life's choices. But instead, he gives us free will. We make our own choices, and we ultimately decide what we're going to do in this life. But it's when we decide to invite him into our story is when things begin to change. So maybe tonight we're dealing with the loss. Maybe we said something to someone that caused hurt, and we said some words we wish we could take back. Maybe we made a decision under pressure that others forced us into, and now we're living with the consequences longer than we ever expected. Maybe we made a mistake years ago, one that we just can't seem to shake, and it hangs over us like a shadow. Maybe we came in here with regret, frustrated where life has brought us, wondering how in the world did we get here and where in the world am I going? Maybe someone said something about you that wasn't true, and it's still affecting the way that others see you, or better yet, how you see yourself. Maybe we're still dwelling on yesterday because it hurts and the weight of it feels too heavy to bear. I've come to tell someone tonight that if we give God our yesterday, He will take care of our today. And if we place today in his hands, then he will handle our tomorrow. And if he is holding our tomorrow, then our future is already brighter than we could ever imagine. And that alone, that hope is enough to keep us fighting. That is the strength that we need to keep moving forward. There is no need to hold our head down, church, about what happened in the past when God is the one in control of our future. Come on. I feel the presence of God in this place already. That is the good of yesterday. Now, we could just turn on some music right there and have altar call and go home. But what fun would that be? Let's bring some Bible into this, shall we? I'm going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 9 in the NLT. And it says, "Finally, all the elders of Israel met at Ramah to discuss the matter with Samuel. 'Look,' they told him, 'you are now old.'" What an insult. You're old. "And you and your sons are not like you." Even a worse insult for some of us parents in here. "Give us a king to judge like all the other nations." Samuel was displeased with their requests and went to the Lord for guidance. See, that was a smart thing to do in that situation, because I'm not sure if that would have been my first response. But then it says, "Do everything they say to you," the Lord replied, for they are rejecting me, not you. They don't want me to be their king any longer. Ever since I brought them from Egypt, they have continually abandoned me and followed other gods. And now they are giving you the same treatment. Do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about the way a king will reign over them." So to recap, you have the nation of Israel, people who had seen God in undeniable ways. They witnessed miracle after miracle, seas parted, enemies defeated, bread from heaven, water from rocks, thunder from heaven, and it was undeniable that God was with them. But they looked around and saw other nations and said, "We want to be just like them. We want a king. We want to be like the other nations." So they started to compare. And even though God himself was their king, even though he had proven himself faithful, that just wasn't enough for them. And in their process of asking for a physical human king, they were rejecting the King of Kings. And I want to pause right here. Even though Israel abandoned God as their king, he was still with them because he loved them. Despite them envying other nations and wanting a physical king and putting themselves outside of the will of God, Jesus never left them. And my point in saying that is, just because we made a mistake, just because we might have made a wrong decision, or we've done something that has put us outside the will of God for a moment, does not mean that we can't get back inside of it. It's not final. And we see that displayed here in Scripture with the nation of Israel, and that same thing applies to us. There is no mistake, no flaw, nor decision that we could make that God can't redeem or lead us back from. It doesn't matter who's written us off. We're never too far from God. But we have to give him our yesterday, our today, and our tomorrow. His grace is big enough to cover our setbacks and detours. His love is strong enough to meet us right where we are. And he can lead us right back to where we're supposed to be, which is inside his will. He can still have his way with us, but we have to give ourselves to him. All we gotta say is, "God, I'm sorry for the misstep. I'm sorry for falling short. Take the wheel. Order my steps. Do what you gotta do. because you are in control. That's all he wants. There are people that you talk to, and you know, you try to have a casual conversation with them, and you're like, hey, how's it going? What's new? They're like, oh, not much. I'm like, okay, great answer. And then they're like, well, let me tell you what happened a couple weeks ago. And they just, they're stuck on it. They're dwelling in the past, and you can tell that it still has an effect on them because they're still stuck in the past. It's not the will of God for us to dwell so long on what has happened, so much that we lose sight on what's ahead. In other words, God can't bless our future if we're still stuck on the past. I want to put back up Isaiah 43 and 18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. God is ready to do a new thing in us, but we have to let go of what was and say yes to what's next. That is the good of yesterday. That is the good of yesterday. So let's fast forward ahead in our story here. Saul was anointed king by Samuel. God gave him a new heart, and he was being set up with everything he needed to lead Israel. Saul had an incredible opportunity to do some marvelous things. But before all that happened, look at what Samuel said to Israel, because they called him old, so you know he just wasn't going to lie there and just take that. 1 Samuel 12, verses 13 through 16, and I'm going to jump to 22. And it says, all right, here is the king you have chosen. You asked for him, and the Lord has granted your request. Now, if you fear and worship the Lord and listen to his voice, and you do not rebel against the Lord's commands, then both you and your king will show you that you recognize the Lord as your God. But if you rebel against the Lord's commands and refuse to listen to him, then his hand will be as heavy upon you as it was upon your ancestors. Now stand here and see the great thing the Lord is about to do. And then skipping down to verse 22, the Lord will not abandon his people because that would dishonor his great name. For it has pleased the Lord to make you his very own people. Samuel gives a nice little friendly warning here and says, look, you ungrateful nation, don't forget about everything that God has brought you through. He has granted your request in wanting a king, but don't forget the one that is in control. Don't forget who the real king is. Despite your disobedience and your envy towards other nations, God is still with you. And he will always continue to be with you because the work that he has begun must continue. Now worship him and thank him for being faithful. Church, the fact that we are still standing today is living proof that God is not done with us. We are still standing, and our past failures and our shortcomings are not a death sentence. It is not final. Instead, it is an opportunity for him to do a miracle in our lives. It is the beginning of our testimony. It's an opportunity for God to step in and work a miracle in our lives. And with people, after one or two mistakes you make, they're ready to toss you to the curb. They said, I'm done with you. I'm gonna cut you off. I'm gonna act brand new. But with God, God sees us and says, I'm not done with you. I still got a plan for you. I need to do something in your life, but you gotta give me your tomorrow. Don't settle insane when God is calling you to something greater. Come on. Woo! God is calling us to walk forward into his redemption. Let's put back up verse 22 really quick. The Lord will not abandon his people. Church, God is with you. God is with you. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God can see my mess and see my failures and still do something powerful for his glory. I'm thankful that I serve a God who will not abandon us, and he won't forget about me despite what I've done. He's still there. That is the good of yesterday. Come on, let's worship him in this place right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being the God of yesterday. Thank you for always being with us, God. We love you, Jesus. We honor you tonight, God. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Are you thankful that he is the God of yesterday? Amen. All right, I'm going to continue on quickly here. So in this story, the Israelites were going to battle against the Philistines, and they were told to sit tight and to wait on Samuel to come and offer the sacrifice before doing anything. So Saul was given clear instructions given to him by Samuel. Wait 7 days, and I will come and offer the sacrifice. But you see, as time went on, he felt pressure from people. Fear started to creep in, and impatience took over. And so Saul said, I'm gonna take things into my own hands. And as a result of that, he offered the burnt sacrifice, something for Samuel to do. And so when Samuel arrived and saw what Saul had done, look at what he said to him. Chapter 13, verses 13 to 14. He says, how foolish. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, forever. But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. I want you to imagine how Saul felt in that moment. The chance to lead God's people forever, gone because of disobedience. And so later on, Samuel confronts Saul. 1 Samuel 15, 18 through 13. And the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners of the Amalekites until they are all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight? But I did obey the Lord, Samuel insisted. I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. But this is where it cuts. Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord? Your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Listen. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft. And stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. This moment officially marked the end of Saul's time as king and the beginning of David's rise. So Saul became so overcome with bitterness. He allowed his heart to become overtaken by anger, so much so he tried to kill David on multiple occasions. I can't help but wonder what would have happened if Saul would have fallen right on his face right there, broken, and surrendered his feelings and truly repented to God. What if instead of seeing David as a threat, he would have embraced him as a friend? What if he had tried to serve along him rather than trying to destroy him? How much more could have Saul accomplished if he had let go of his pride and hurt? I believe God would have redeemed him because Saul's story wasn't over, but Saul believed it was. He let shame, anger, and the weight of yesterday's failure harden his heart. He let his emotions write the ending that wasn't supposed to be. Look at the two men hanging on the cross next to Jesus. Both were criminals. Both were moments away from death, but each responded differently. One man was like the rest of the crowd saying, "You're the Messiah." And in pain, in bitterness, that's what came out, was bitterness. But the other man said something different. He recognized who Jesus was and rebuked the other criminal and said, "This man has done nothing wrong." And as death drew near, he cried out, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me, Jesus. Don't forget about me." And Jesus responded in grace and said, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Both men were guilty, facing eternity, but their destinations were completely different because of how they responded to their past, to their yesterday. How we choose to respond to yesterday's failures will shape our future. We can't allow the pain and the hurt of yesterday to control our emotions and make our hearts cold towards God. The enemy's greatest lie is convincing us that our story is over, that we have no hope, that you have no future. He wants us to believe that our past mistakes and our pain define us and that we have nothing to look forward to. But God is saying to his church, "I know the past hurts. I know it may feel impossible to overcome, but that's what I died for. I died for the mistakes. I died for the flaws. I died for the shortcomings. I gave my life so that my people can receive redemption." He can turn around. He can make a way for you, church. But we have to stop looking backwards and face forward towards the future. We have to forgive others and we have to forgive ourselves. Let's all stand in the house. He doesn't care how many mistakes we've made. He just needs us to come back to him and give him our yesterday. We have to release the hurt. We have to forgive those that have wronged us. It's time to stop living in the past and stop replaying yesterday's mistakes and shift our focus to what God is doing today. Even when things feel broken, strained, or uncertain, he's still working. He is the God that restores, that heals, that breathes new life into something that seems lifeless. Don't give up. What feels like the end might just be the beginning of something better. Maybe you face disappointment, burnout, or failure. Maybe you feel like you missed on your moment and you feel disqualified, but God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He is faithful. God is not done with you. Doors may have closed. Plans may have fallen apart, but that doesn't mean that it's over. trust that he is positioning you for something greater. Your life isn't over. It's just the beginning. You're not too old. You're not too broken. It's not too late. You still have breath. God is not done with you, church. But we have to say, God, yesterday was rough, but thank you for bringing me through it. Thank you for carrying me through. Thank you for yesterday. Thank you for being the God of yesterday. Thank you for being the God of today. And thank you for being the God of tomorrow. Come on, church. Let's respond to the presence of God that's in this place right now. God wants to heal some hurt. God wants to mend some things in our hearts. Why don't we just lift our hands and let's just cry out to him in this place right now. Let's give it all to him right now. Thank you for being good, God. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for forgiving my mistakes. Thank you for overlooking the things I've done wrong, God.